morning, everyone. It is nice to be with you. It's been a while since I've been here at WRC and been speaking to a camera, so it's nice to be here with you, and it's also nice to be with you guys who are watching online. If you've been joining with us over the last few weeks, you will know that we're in the middle of a sermon series that we're calling Do It Again. Because if you haven't realized this yet, we're kind of in an interesting season, a season of disruption. But we are trusting that God is using this season to disrupt his church in a really good way, to bring revival, which we've been reminded that revival is God pouring out his spirit on Christ's followers, and that results in the kingdom of heaven being manifested here on earth. And so Steve has been talking over the last few weeks, exploring Jesus's mission, his method, his message. So his message, we learned, was that the kingdom of God was at hand. If you look through the Gospels, if you look at the words that Jesus said, that was his main message, that the kingdom of God is at hand. We explored his mission, which we actually already read his mission earlier. He came to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. And then Steve last week explored Jesus' method, and it was threefold, right? He used words, deeds, and signs and wonders. And we are invited to be a part of this. We're invited to be a part of God's mission. We're invited to learn from what he did. But, you know, it's not enough just to follow the example of Jesus. We actually need to be united with him. I think that's one of the most incredible parts of being a Christ follower, is that we actually get to be united with Christ. We read in Romans about how the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living within us. We should be tied to Jesus. Jesus talks about this in John 15:1-5. He says, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We have this invitation to find life in Christ, to be united with him, to have him dwell within us. But, you know, as I look through scripture, I see this tension, and I feel this tension actually in my own life, that God has given us this promise that he's always with us, right? Some of Jesus's last words were, you know, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God's presence is always with us. We ourselves are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And yet we're also given this directive to seek God, to find him, to seek his kingdom, to knock on the door. James says in James 4:8, as we draw near to God, he draws near to us. There's an active part that we need to play. And so that's what I want to focus on today, is what it looks like for us to seek God, what it looks like for us to draw near to him, to pursue his presence. And each person that's here in this room, each person that's watching online, we each have our own relationship with God. We each experience his presence in a different way. And I think the thing that actually unifies us is that we all need his presence. That looks different for everyone, but we all need his presence. And so there's no one right way to seek God. But I want to just offer a few thoughts today to kind of help us focus. But then for the majority of our time together, I actually want to just lead us through a few practices, because we can talk about this, but I think the best thing to do is actually practice it. So my first thought is really just a reminder that our God is steadfast and true, but he's dynamic. When we go to God, we can have the assurance that he is the same yesterday, today, forever. When it feels like everything around us is shifting and changing, he is the thing that is solid. We can return to him over and over again, and he never changes. But he's also dynamic. He's Father, he's Son, he's Holy Spirit. And then he's our King. He's our friend. He's our provider, our comforter. He's our bridegroom. He's our healer. We have this dynamic, complex relationship with God. And if this was a relationship with another human, it'd be extremely dysfunctional. That's too many roles for one person to play. But our relationship with God is an all-satisfying one, an ever-new relationship, one that we can spend our entire lives pursuing, our entire lives coming into the presence of God and discovering a new aspect of his character, a part to our relationship with him. And I think that sometimes a trap that we fall into is that we get a very narrow view of who God is. He becomes kind of one-dimensional for us. So, you know, we open our Bibles and he is simply our teacher. And we just say, oh, God, you know, teach us, show us your ways, tell us what we need to do. Or maybe he's simply become a provider. And so we go to him when we are in need, because we know he's faithful. We know he's generous. Or maybe he has just become king. So, oh, yes, we will serve you. We'll surrender to you. We will obey you. And these things are good. These are true things about the character of God. These are true things about God. And yet, I think when we limit him to only one part of his character, when our relationship is only with one part of who God is, then we only come to him when we need or desire that one part of God. It starts to feel like God doesn't really fit into all parts of our lives, just in that one little area. Flip the notes around. So I think that when we talk about seeking God, when we talk about pursuing his presence, we need to keep it fresh. We need to pursue all of who he is. We need to be constantly discovering more and more of his character. So that's my first thought. My second one is kind of a question. It really is a question. And the question is, when you seek God, when you pursue him, are you seeking simply the hands of God, or are you seeking his face? And what I mean by that is, when you go to God, are you going to him just to receive something. You know, we all have needs. We need God's grace. We need his forgiveness. We need his healing. We need his protection. We need his guidance, his wisdom. We should go to God with our needs. But Jesus has invited us into a relationship with God that's far more intimate than just his hands. We can actually come face to face with God. We can become intimate friends with God, not just seeking his hands, but actually seeking his face. That passage from John about the vine and the branches, Jesus says, "Remain in me." Other translations use the word abide. Abide in me. That's seeking God's face. It's not just his hands. Abiding with him is personal. It's intimate. Seeking God's face. And so when we pursue his presence, we pursue him. Not for any other reason, but just to know him, just to see his face. My third thought for today is that pursuing God's presence requires our affection and our obedience. So we can come to God, we can come to him in worship and go, God, I love you. I want to experience you. I want to know you. But there also requires us to surrender to him, to recognize that he is Lord, to say yes to him and no to ourselves. Jesus says in John 14:23, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." When we seek God, the result is transformation. And that's like one of the most incredible things of coming face to face with God, is that there is real transformation that occurs. But that does require that submission to his lordship. It requires obedience. And I think, I know this is true for myself, that sometimes I can avoid entering into the presence of God because of shame, or because there are just things that I really don't want to surrender to him. Or I know that entering his presence means that there's the risk that he's going to ask me to do something that's just a little bit outside of my comfort zone. And I don't want to risk that. And so if that's you today, I invite you to just bring all of that. To bring the shame. To bring those reservations, to bring all your concerns, and to actually bring them to God. Let his presence break through that. Let his grace-filled, transformative power actually work in you. So I could keep going on. There are so many things that we can learn, so many tools that we can have in order to, you know, better understand how we can enter into the presence of God. And they are good. I'm sure if you went and talked to Steve, he could recommend like 100 books that can help you with this. But if we want revival, if we want that spark, if we want to be refreshed in our relationship with God, the only thing that's going to do that is to actually enter into his presence, is to come face to face with God. And so that's what I want to do. There are four practices that we're going to go through. And as I said, each of us have our own relationship with God. And so there may be one or two that you're like, you know what, that just doesn't work for me. And that's totally fine. It doesn't have to be a good fit for everyone. But I invite you to participate. I know this is not usually how we do Sunday services. You usually get to come and just sit and listen, but I'm inviting you to participate today. And if you're watching online and you are right now multitasking, doing dishes, whatever else you're doing, I invite you just to pause and find a space where you can just enter into the presence of God. So let's just start. The first thing I want to invite us to do is to use our imaginations a bit. As I was wrestling with what to share today, there was a part of me that was kind of like, okay, what does it mean to actually seek the face of God? And so I just tried it. I just looked at the face of God. And so that's what I want to do with you. I want us, if it's easier for you to close your eyes and imagine this, but just to recognize that God is with us. He is right here next to us. And so I want you just to enter into his presence and be aware of yourself. As you enter into his presence, what is your posture? And then look at God. Notice the things that you are seeing. And then move your eyes to his face. What expression does he have? And I invite you just to spend a few moments just looking at the face of God. And when it feels awkward and it's not always normal to have extended eye contact, just push that away and continue beholding the face of God. Next, I just want to lead us through a scripture meditation. And this scripture will feel a bit familiar because we explored it in last fall, going through the letters to the churches in Revelation. This is the vision of Jesus that John had. So I'm going to read through it once. And this first time, I want you to just notice if there is a word or a phrase that stands out to you. So let me read Revelation 1, 9 to 18. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was something like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." I'm going to read it once again. And this time, I want you to consider what this means for you today. God's word is living and active. God speaks through his word. So what does this mean for you today. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his waist. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." We're going to move now into a time of worship, so I'm going to ask Kim to come up, but we're not going to sing the way we usually do. I invite you to just worship God in whatever way you would like right now. So we can worship God with our whole bodies. So I invite you to do what makes sense right now for you. Maybe that's actually kneeling in front of your chair. Maybe that's standing and raising your hands. Maybe that's just sitting with your head bowed. Maybe your worship is actually singing your own song. Maybe it's praying, speaking out a prayer to God. And I know this is not normal. this may seem super uncomfortable. You may think, no, this is what I reserve for when I am at home alone. And my encouragement is not to pretend that you are alone. We are here together. That's important, that we are together. But let's remember that we have an audience of one. We are not here to perform for anybody else. We are offering our worship to God alone. And so as we enter into worship, we can be encouraged because we know that those around us are doing the same thing in our own way with what we have to offer today in this moment. We are offering it up to God with his body, his beloved, his bride. So, yeah, just for the next few minutes, be free. Be free to just worship our most awesome and wonderful God. So, yeah, I'm going to step down and let's just spend the next few minutes worshiping our God. final thing that I invite you to do this morning is to record something. There is paper on the seat next to you, and there's no one right thing to answer or to write down. Maybe God has spoken to you, and I invite you to just record that. Maybe God is asking you to make a commitment. Write that down. Maybe this is just a continuation of your worship. Maybe this is a prayer. But I think we can let these moments pass and to just have something that is concrete, something that we have recorded. It can maybe draw us back. It can cement this moment and draw us back to Him. So let's just spend the next few minutes expressing whatever it is on the paper that's provided.